Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast with your hosts, Jason Rambo and Sean Alley. We bring you all things sporting clays. Our focus is bringing new shooters to the sport and helping all shooters by giving you the most useful info from coaches, pro shooters, gun clubs, product and service specialists. The Dead Pair Podcast, what every shotgun shooter wants to hear.
Paul?
Dead Pair.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Rambo. With me, the man that's large and in charge, Mr. Alley.
Did you leave the door open?
No, I told you,
you need to lock the daggone door.
No, I did,
but somehow I think the guy picked the lock and got in here. We got some trouble in here tonight.
Well, who is this rascal over here?
People, we got in here finally, Mr. Rad Chad Roberts. Chad, how are you doing this evening?
I am awesome.
Finally here.
Show, Chad.
In studio. It's awesome to have him. Yes.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. This is such a cool thing to do. I want to play with the buttons.
And, of course, the reason Chad is in studio is he flew in for the Ohio State shoot this week.
And
he's also giving tutoring or coaching lessons at C4. So
tutoring.
Well, tutoring, coaching, whatever you
probably
want to
call with it. Me, it's probably considered tutoring. Right? You kind of got something from me today. Jason, did it feel like tutoring?
He's teaching stuff, okay? He's making you smarter and stuff.
Man, my brain is on tilt.
You needed it.
So you're coaching tomorrow at C4.
Yeah, I'm going to be there all day from 9 a.m. till 5. And then Scott was telling me yesterday when I was flying out here that if somebody needs another opening, he'll go early or after that time too. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, give me a call. Come out and see me. I'm here. It's fun, man. I love it out here. Got to go to the Cardinal Center today and shoot some targets.
Yeah, that's the first time you'd been there, isn't it?
It's my first time in Ohio since I won a BMX race back in 2011.
What do you think about that really small trap line they have?
It's kind
of... you just can't see the end of it.
Well, fortunately, I'm close enough to Tucson Trap and Skeet Club, which has had some really big trap events, and they have 60 or 65 trap field, so it's pretty impressive anytime you see any club with that.
Yeah, it's a big outfit. So basically, with Chad being here in studio, what are we going to get into, Jason?
Probably all kinds of trouble, but since
no doubt there.
Since my wife edits these, we'll leave some of that until the record button's off.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, we have got a couple of really big announcements tonight. Sarah Daco with RE Ranger is coming on to talk about something new.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Chad, you have a guest joining us.
I do. Want to spill the beans who it is right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So a long time ago when I first started, I was with a really good friend of mine shooting at Anthony's place at the regional out there. And I got squatted with this dude. He was super buff. He had a beard. He looked like a Spartan Viking type of guy. And the guy was just hammering targets. And he was just such a sweet dude. Probably won't like me saying that about him because he's supposed to be a tough guy. But, so he's out of Washington. His name is Tracy Wright from Dark Horse Shooting. He kind of left the sport for a little bit, and then he showed up at the regional about a year and a half ago, maybe a little longer, and he's back at it, and he's teaching, and he's just a super strong coach. He's an excellent person just in general, and I think he's somebody that is to be revered in the game. If you know who he is or been around and see him, he can put up a number, and on top of that, he's just really knowledgeable of the game because he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He's done some IPSC shooting and some psychologist stuff, and I mean, it's just really cool. He's got a full box, and I thought it would be really neat to see if you guys would put somebody on that has a good degree at what we do, and it's it's not just the very top elite. Like, there's guys out here like him that can really help you guys, especially if you're in that area. You know, there's not a lot of us on the West Coast that teach. And the ones that are, we're either traveling or teaching as much as we can. So, there's always room for more.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I threw it out there on Facebook. We wanted to do some questions for the coaches, and we've got some for you. Since we got Tracy coming on, we'll throw him a couple. And listen, everyone, if your question does not get asked tonight, we have saved all of them. We're going to use it for our next questions for the coaches segment in the following episode. So don't think, oh, man, they didn't answer my question, because we've got it. We'll get them all answered. Just we can only do so many.
Bear with us. Yeah. Just bear with us.
But
let's just do a 4-hour podcast.
No.
There's not enough alcohol in this room, right, guys?
Well, it's not that. There'd be lawyers on the phone if I take a 4-hour episode home to the wife. So, but no, listen, Sarah, we're running late. Thanks to Chad. But
he just likes to throw people under the bus. If you're not used to that yet, that's part of the show.
But no, Sarah's waiting on us to call. I'm really excited. Chad already knew about this before anybody else did, so I'm sure he's excited. We'll get Sarah on the phone, and let's do this drop. Real quick commercial break. Please, please, please patronize our sponsors. They've helped us bring you this show. So real quick commercial break, and then we're going to be right back with Sarah Daca. American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft-quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
This episode is sponsored by quality and innovative Game Bore cartridges. Game Bore shot shells are the choice of world champion David Radulovich and 26 times world champion George Digweed MBE. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot, manufactured exclusively in England, and coupled with high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. If you're serious about your scores, you have to shoot with the best. When every clay counts, make sure you never compromise. Game Bore is the most decorated FITASC and sporting clay shot shells in the sport's history. Available now throughout the U.S., exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.gameboreus.com. Game Bore are simply the champion's choice.
All right, joining us this evening, Sarah Daca. Sarah, how are you doing this evening, dear?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're great and excited to have you on. I guess you've got some big news to talk about, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've been waiting on this. And, of course, we got Chad here in the studio. And yep. He's already aware of it. So we're jealous of Chad. Can you imagine that, Sarah?
See, I did my job. I didn't spill the beans, Sarah.
I know. Very good, Chad. I love it.
Well, the floor is yours. Take it away and let us know what's going on with Ranger.
Yeah, definitely. I'm beyond excited. I feel like I just went on this field trip to the Science Museum, and I finally get to go home and tell my parents all about it. This is how excited I am. It's something that I've had to keep quiet for a long time, so it's definitely a long time coming. So, yeah. So at Ranger, we actually started researching about 3 years ago and took a really deep dive into lens technology, more so than we ever have before. Honestly, we learned so many aspects related to color and vision that it really changed even our way of thinking about the sport. I honestly would have never have imagined that this is where the journey would have taken us, but I'm sure glad it did, that's for sure. Ranger really decided to kick it up a notch, Jason, and incorporate artificial intelligence into our new lenses. Ta-da!
Artificial intelligence? Yeah. All right, you gotta elaborate on that.
AI technology, sure. So by using AI in our development process, we've truly changed the way that lenses have been tinted and created for the last 50 years in shooting, which this ultimately changes the way you see the game, honest. By using patented, protected AI technology dyes, it's allowed us to source every possible color combination, and we no longer are looking just at shifting chroma or color, rather. So by keeping the color spectrum wide open, plus some other parameters that we controlled for, it allowed us to create these awesome new lenses named React AI. So there are three lenses. It's React Bright Light, React Mid Light, in React low light. So we did kind of design this around a kit.
Okay.
All right.
So what about the evil time of day? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're making me jump way ahead to the good stuff.
Well, that's this is exciting.
Yeah, so the witching hour, that's what I think you're referring to.
Yes, which yes.
Sure. So in the optical world, this is named the Purkinje effect. So what we as shooters kind of call this the witching hour. And what the Purkinje effect is, it's color desaturation or decontrasting due to dim lighting conditions. So we transition from this every single day. So from your night vision to your day vision, from your day vision and back again. So you're kind of your dusk and dawn times. During this time, your eyes are being served with confusing colors. And because of the lighting change, it's making it harder to see the colors the way that we do during the day. You know, your blues are going to be a little bit brighter, honestly, and your reds are actually going to start to dull out and look a little bit gray. So it's making it a lot harder for us shooters to see that target during that time. So we wanted to take it one step further for our React low light lens. And not only is this lens good for low light conditions, rainy, overcast, night shooting, it actually negates about 15% of the perceived Purkinje effect. So we're adding color saturation back to the target. We're adding visual brightness to your entire field of view, and we're decreasing the hazy color vision. So long story short, it's going to brighten up your world when you're shooting. And so during those times, it's just going to make you see that target longer in those conditions versus the normal human eye. Okay. It's honestly one of the ones I'm most excited about, because no other manufacturer of shooting lenses have accounted for correcting the Purkinje effect. It's really going to be great for those shoot-offs. I can't wait to see it.
Interesting.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know what I'm going to ask you, right, with my crooked eyeballs. Will you have this in RX? Will we be able to get prescription lenses?
Sure. So we're actually doing this launch a little different than others. It's going to be done in two phases. The first phase is going to be your non-prescription candidates. I know. You'll have to wait just a little bit longer. I know. Hey. I know. It pains me to say that.
Hey, Jason. What? They're really cool.
Oh, you just...
Yeah.
You know, if there was ever a time to backhand this guy... So
my eyes work just fine, and they're really, really cool.
Yeah, so if your eyes work just fine, like Chad said, then you'll be okay. You can get them, right away.
Well, it's okay. Hold on a second. Before you go too much farther, that just posed an important question everybody's wanting to know. When can they get their hands on them?
Sure. So that date is not set yet, but we're just finalizing and finishing up the researching of the optical side of things. Uh-huh. Because it's new technology, it's a little bit more complex when it comes to the optical lenses versus just non-optical lenses. Okay. So it's taking a little bit more time than we thought, but so that's going to be phase two. But Jason, as soon as I know, I'll let you know.
Okay.
He's chomping at the bit. He's chomping at the bit.
Now that's for the RX, right?
That's the RX. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When's the public that doesn't have to have prescription lenses, when will they be able to get these lenses in their hands?
Yeah. So they launched on August 9th. They'll be available to the public as of that day forward. There is a pre-sale that's happening. So it could take about up to, depending on what day you order, it could take about 10 days to ship to you. But just for that pre-sale. And then probably by the 19th of August, we'll be full out of pre-sale mode and into regular shipping.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the official name of this lens?
Yeah, so it's React AI technology. So the name is React. And the reason, let me summarize a little bit more about the technology for you, and you'll understand. So if I had to summarize it, which is really hard to do because I want to sit here and talk to you guys all night about it, but these lenses were developed to perfectly balance and reduce eye fatigue. It's almost like wearing a pair of sunglasses. You know, it just kind of gives you that natural, like, easy feel to your eyes.
Okay.
They have very little color saturation, so most colors are true to what they are. So, for example, snow is going to be white through these lenses. So if you were looking through a rose lens or a purple lens, there's going to be a rose or a purple hue to snow. But with these lenses, snow is going to remain white. We hyper-focused on contrast, which increases depth perception. And that's so important because obviously the landscapes we shoot in, right? you know, you have to judge the distance of the target, objects around the target, as well as the path trajectory of the target.
Right.
And of course we couldn't do this without color boosting. We can't make this lens without boosting that orange target.
Right. Right.
Yep. So we enhanced that the target more than we would ever have before. And we actually did something a little bit extra. So we've actually boosted the right appropriate colors to create that contrast, which helps with that depth perception. So you're going to see those dimples or shadows on the target like you've never seen before. And as a result of this, you may react sooner to the target. You'll actually react to everything around you, your environment, a little bit faster. These lenses are so balanced, you're going to be so in tune to that target more than ever before. So that's why we ended up naming them React, just because your reaction to everything is going to be a little bit quicker.
Please beg the engineers to hurry up for the RX models, please.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued. This sounds really cool.
So what?
Awesome.
What models of glasses will these lenses be available for? Just the Edge or just the Falcons or all of them or?
Sure. So it's going to be available in the Falcon, the Edge, the Classic, and the Sporter. So
awesome.
I will say for those people who do have prescription and wear the Sporter, because the clip-on is a non-prescription lens, you can actually get them now. It's the RX version of actually putting the prescription into the lens with the color dyes is the delay.
Of course, that's me.
I'm sorry.
I need to get on the product development team and make sure I get the first dibs on this stuff.
I know. It's
always got to be about Jason, doesn't it?
No, it really, I'd love to get everybody all at once, but it's just, this technology is so amazing that we didn't want to hold back. It's so amazing. I cannot wait for this to get out there and for people to try it, because it's just like nothing you've ever seen before. It's you're really going to be looking at the game differently. You're going to visually see the view differently than you've ever seen before.
It's
going to
awesome.
Be a little change for some people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really incredible. Are we missing anything, Sarah? I mean, I feel like you just, you know, had it just exploded.
Right.
But I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about this? I mean, not that we need to know anything else. This is awesome, but are we missing anything?
Sure. Just, you know, for anyone who wants to buy them right now, we have them online on our website, reranger.com.
Okay.
These lenses, they will have a green anti-reflective coating on them on both sides. So that's going to help with reflections and reduce glare, things like that.
Oh, wow. So they come with the AR coatings. That's awesome.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and just a touch on the material, so one other kind of piece that we controlled for. So the material is high-density fusionate, which is a high-grade plastic that's been controlled for things like grain structure, mold polishing, surface haze, and other things that most manufacturers won't pay attention to. What's really exciting about the lenses is that they're actually infused with precious metals to create technology that's not been seen in the shooting sport. So it's really the secret sauce to the lenses that make these lenses so different from anything else that's ever been out there in the market.
Okay, now, you just said precious metal, so a lot of people just went, ooh, man, these things are going to be expensive. What's the price point on them versus the other lenses?
Yes, I had a feeling this was going to come up.
We asked the tough questions here, Sarah.
Yeah, so these are definitely going to be at a higher price point.
Okay.
Because they are AI technology, you know, there was a lot to go into these. So we just, because we're kicking it up that notch, we really needed to have that price point that was in line with the product. So for example, a single lens is going to be about $249 to $269, but we have some really cool three lens pricing kits that's going to save you money. So if you buy all three together, you'll actually save buying that bundle versus individually.
So basically it's just the three lenses. That's basically all that's there. You got one for sunlight or bright light, medium light, and then low light. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. So there's that bright light and the mid light are very similar. One just has a different lens transmittance. So some eyes like really dark lenses, some eyes like lighter lenses. So it kind of gives that best of both, whatever feels more comfortable to somebody. And then that low light is really that all around for all eyes. It'll work for everybody. So yeah, it's a
honestly, that streamlines it for people. I mean, that's really, because there's so many different, you know, colors and stuff that you can get from your lenses. So that honestly makes it easier, I think.
Yeah. These are the only three lenses you're ever going to need.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, versus digging through your bag through, you know, 30, 40 different lens colors.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So if you think the price point's a little high, when you put that in perspective that you only need three of these lenses, not 30 of them.
Right.
Okay, and couple it with the fact that they get a Dead Pair discount by using Dead Pair at checkout.
There you go.
So woo-hoo. Now they're saving money, and they've got the most awesome lens technology in the world.
Well said,
that's
Jason.
That's what I like to hear.
Right? Well exactly. said, Jason.
Right?
We keep so, him around.
Jason, do you want to work for us?
We keep him around for a reason, don't we?
Well, from a shooter's perspective, for any of you guys out there, you know, I'm from the West Coast, so most of our clubs are on flat ground. We have some in the canyons, some in the mountains, and we have the desert background. You come out to the East Coast or out here where we're at in Ohio, and there's a lot of green background in the trees. The biggest difference that a lot of people don't realize if you're from out here is how, like, fortunate you guys are to be able to have shooting in your backyard. Like, we went to Jason's mom's house and to the farm, and we shot last night, and I actually got in late because of wonderful airlining through Chicago is always a pleasure. But we got out there and I went straight to those lenses because it's the first time I've been able to shoot, because most clubs on our side of the world over there, they close around 5. And our winter times, that's good to get that witching hour, but we don't really get it in the summer because it gets dark at like 9 o'clock at night. So there's only one club that we shoot in the evening for. And I wasn't able to do that. So I was able to whip them out last night. And, you know, I remember at one point, Jason, you were shooting a target and you said you couldn't see it and you had to shoot it up in the sky. And I was shooting it at about 3 or 4 feet off the ground into the trees because I could see it really well.
Well, yeah, just so people know. So that this is like a curling, quartering away target. And we were seeing the belly, which was black, and it was dark and it was going into the trees. And once it did, I couldn't see it. So I had to take it up in the sky, and Chad is cracking it like 3 feet off the ground. I'm like, how do you even see that? Well, he didn't tell me that he had Sarah's little super lenses.
And I will say, because it looks like, when you first glance at it, it looks like just like the lens I would normally use at that time of the night or that time of the day. But it wasn't, and it was with the new coating, and it was interesting because it wasn't like noticeable. Like, oh, wow, I can just see really well. It just felt normal.
Yeah.
And it just felt like I was shooting when it was a little brighter out. And it was interesting because it was black target, black background with those black and the trees. And it was cool. I was smashing it, too. And I was like, these work good. I don't know what's going on exactly. You know, it's like how I have to look at it.
Okay, I want some now.
And I was like, okay. And to be fair, you know, it's a three lens kit. Like you're saying, Sean, it keeps the questioning down to the minimum. Obviously, you know, everybody's different, but that's why they make a whole bunch of different lenses too. You know, it's not just, not that the stuff that we currently are using isn't good. It still uses, you know, the Carl Zeiss technology and it works really well. So you can find what you need for sure with what Ranger makes, but this does take a lot of that out of question when you're shooting in the trees and you're going in and out of like fields and that sun comes out, or today, like we were in the trees on Cardinal Center and the sun went behind some clouds. It was like, it's nice to have something you can actually see and not have to change it. It was cool.
Well, Sarah, I'm speechless. I can't even, I don't even know what to say other than please, please tell the engineers to hurry. I really want a set.
I will. Trust me, you and everybody else will be after me for it. I know it. So it is on the list and we're moving forward.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for choosing us to announce this launch. We really appreciate that. We're humbled by it as well.
It's very cool.
And we look forward to not only seeing, but using this new lens.
And publicly, I'd like to thank you for sponsoring me. You guys are awesome.
Oh, aww. There you go.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
He's just big softie after
I
all.
I just love
it. You're awesome, too.
I got my shirts, too. They're cool.
Wait a minute. Well, now we need to talk here, Sarah.
Trust me, Chad had to wait a little while for those.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I got them. I'm so excited. I was, my girlfriend's like, what are you doing? I was like, I got my shirts.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. I definitely would love to talk to you a little bit longer. We've got another guest coming on. I don't want to run too long. Is there any last closing thoughts, anything you want to say before we go?
No, thanks for having me on, and it's always a pleasure.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you on, and thank you for helping the show out. We really appreciate everything that Ranger does for us.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Sarah.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, it's always nice to have Sarah on the show, and it's got me really excited. I was able to put on a pair of Chad's glasses. We took a break in between, and he brought his glasses out of the truck, and I was looking at them. It was the Falcons, was it?
Yes, sir, the Falcon Pros, and you looked really good in them.
Yeah, and I got to try all the different lens colors because Chad's got basically a Crayola crown box full of lens colors, and I was trying them all on. I'm like, ooh, that one's cool. Ooh, that one's cool. Oh, that one's even cooler.
Well, you know, when we're coming around all over the country, I just don't know what we're going to come into, and I haven't been to Ohio before. I knew there was a lot of trees and fields and stuff, so it really is different than the West Coast where I'm at in a desert climate, so I bring them along. It doesn't hurt. Fits my luggage, and I can really play with them. You know, got to look through them for a little while so your eyes can get acclimated to them. But once you do, you can really tell what works for you.
Well, the one thing I got to call BS on is you telling Sean that he looks good in them. I don't know anything can make him look good. But
he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good.
Easy. Easy. Jeez, man. No love. No love.
Okay, you two, we'll settle this argument later. We have Tracy Wright waiting on us.
Yep.
Who the heck is that?
Well, you tell me, Chad. Why don't you tell us, Chad?
All right. So, you know, you came to me, Jason, and you said, you know, we want you to come up with somebody to be on the show. And I was getting real excited about.
We put you to task.
You did put me to task. And that was a tough one. I thought it'd be really easy. And, you know, timing didn't work out for some people, whatever. And all of a sudden, one person came into my head very vividly, and it's somebody that I think gets overlooked in our sport. And I met him, oh god, it was a while ago. It was at Anthony Matarese's place, probably in 2009, I'm guessing. It could have been 2010. I was there, I got squatted with him in the prelim, and this dude came up. He's all buffed out, he's got a beard going, he looks like a Spartan. You know, he just looks like a Viking dude, and he's shooting a Craig off, and he is just pounding targets. And I'm like, he's in a T-shirt. He ain't a pro, and he ain't no anybody better than anybody else. But, man, this guy did not miss that day. And I don't know how he finished, but it didn't matter. If you shoot sporting clays or any type of the clay disciplines, you get, you know, squatted with different people all the time or have the opportunity to. And I love that part because you get to meet a lot of different people. And I met this guy, and this guy is from back in the area that I'm from. I'm from Northwest Montana, so he's in the northwestern part of the United States. And so we clicked it off really well, and I just kind of been following the guy's career, and he fell off the face of the earth for a little bit. And all of a sudden he came back at the U.S. Open, I believe, 2 years ago or 3 years ago out at Anthony's place, and I was like, oh, my God, you're back. This is going to be awesome. So I thought Tracy Wright from Dark Horse Shooting would be the guy to bring on, because I think he's just really stepped up his game with his shooting. His coaching is really cool. His name of his company is kind of goes with the Spartan look. And he wins a lot. You know, you guys might not know him because he wins a lot on the West Coast and the Northwest, but this guy has a lot of accolades behind him. He knows what he's talking about. And I think that anybody that knows him knows how good of a shot, and he's genuine with what he says. So I think he was the guy to bring on.
Well, that is by far the best and the longest introduction we've ever had. Tracy Wright, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well,
that was awesome.
Yeah, after everything Chad said, Sean and I are twice as humbled to have you now.
Well, I was looking at your accolades here, and I had one question before we go into what Jason wants to go into. You have won a ton, and I mean, dude, this page is long. You've won a ton of five-stand competitions. Yeah. And I'm talking, you won HOA at the Western Regional in the five stand competition. I watched your shoot off and you beat everybody. And that was awesome because you beat some of the best in the business. My question to you real quick would be, why do you think you tend to excel in that game? I know you've won a lot of other events, but it seems like in the five stand stuff, you really excel. What do you think that is from?
I think it has a lot to do with where I come from. You know, in the Pacific Northwest, we're a little bit limited. I think we've got maybe three total clubs that I can kind of access within about 30 minutes to an hour. But we've got some pretty good little five stand formats, a couple little trap and skeet clubs that offer five stand. So it's not uncommon for me to go out and shoot, got 10 or 15 rounds of five stand, shoot 300-400 rounds at a five stand in a day. So I've definitely shot a lot of five stand in my day, without a doubt.
Do you think that it is a different style or type of shooting than the rest of the disciplines, that it takes a style of thought process and everything to make it make you so good at it?
You know, I absolutely do. I think you're planning each pair completely differently. I think you're observing other birds, you know, from other shooters. It's an absolutely a different format, without a doubt. I think it's a totally separate skill set, you bet.
I can attest to that, and I'm nowhere near the level that you and Chad are, but, you know, you're looking at, I've seen anywhere from 6 to 9 different machines, and, you know, some mathematician out there can tell you the variables of pairs and reports and trues and everything else, but that's something I've struggled on is five-stand competitions, because there is so many variables. You know, you're constantly getting something different, and then you move, and then you constantly get something different, and you move, and so, man, that's, hats off to you. That's pretty, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite games to play, without a doubt.
So what's your other love, Tracy? What do you like to shoot? I mean, sporting, FITASC, what other things do you like to shoot?
You know, I think my favorite is ultimately sporting. That's definitely been my niche. It's definitely, you know, me being, you know, a shooter that probably doesn't travel as much as a lot of the guys do. I stay kind of within the Pacific Northwest. I like to get out to some of the majors, but, you know, so they don't offer FITASC quite as much. They're starting to offer super sporting more now. But historically, five stand has always been a game that's offered, and that I've always had access to.
Have you shot any AFS, American Field Sporting, yet?
I have not. I'm definitely interested, though.
So they've got 4 fields, red, white, blue, and green. And Mark Baltazar is going to send me a smack in the back of the head. I do not remember which one of them mimics the five stand, but it's got a little bit different flair to it. And, of course, you've got the X-Bird, which if you hit on the first shot counts as 2 points. So it's I did shoot it when he first ran it at Dan's place. They had the white field, and I want to say it was the blue field was the five stand. Mark's going to call me on this one, but it's a lot of fun. If you get a chance, Tracy, I highly recommend it.
I absolutely will. I was very interested when they were at when they were in Chicago. I was really wanting to do it, but kind of conflicted with some other stuff, but it's definitely on my list.
So, Tracy, we have a future episode planned with you. We're going to do a whole episode around you and your shooting school, which I'm excited awesome. About. I know Sean is too. We're going to dive a little deeper into your history and how you got started. But for tonight, we had thrown it out there that we had some questions for the coaches, which is a segment we do. I'm sure you've heard it. And I thought, you know what? Chad's dragging you into this. Let's just put you in the hot seat and get you to answer a couple questions. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, the first question we have came from a guy named Brian, and he says, can you go over all the different types of lead, maintain, pull through, or he calls it pull through, and so on, and ask the coach typically what types of lead go with what types of targets or scenarios? Is that pretty standard across the board, or will different coaches suggest different leads?
I think ultimately it's a big question. You know, ultimately I think there's definitely flavors that coaches teach. And I think that there's, you know, there's going to be a couple different opinions on it. You know, I guess the big question that I ask myself is, why do you have different tools and what do they do? The biggest thing that I consider is these tools and these techniques are designed to enhance feel and a felt connection to the target, and increase your timing to the break window. You know, my goal is to basically connect to the target. Okay. So either visually or through feel. You know, for instance, if I have a really slow target at distance, I want to enhance the feel as much as I possibly can with that target so I can connect to that target and be really consistent on that target. If it's a real far long crosser, I might pull away from it. If it's a real tight quartering angle shot, I might mount on the back edge and move to the front. But the real purpose, I think, is identifying why those techniques exist and learning what works for you. You know, if you really know why you have that tool, you should be able to look at any presentation and say, that's a really slow bird. I want to increase my feel. This is what I can do. It's stale. It's, you know, far away. It's just kind of hanging there. So I might mount on the back edge and roll through to the front so I can feel my gun. Those are the different reasons that I deploy different methods.
Okay.
So, you know, so if you want to talk about or break down, you know, swing through or pass through, I think one of the biggest issues that people, especially when they're starting new in the sport that they do, is they think of swing through or pass through as basically generating a ton of gun speed. So much gun speed that you change the perception of lead. And I really think that that's a big mistake. You know, pull away or pass through or changing the gun moving a different speed than the target should be designed to increase feel and not change your perception of lead.
Right.
Okay. Well, can I go and move on to the next question? We've got one from Scott. Now, this is kind of long-winded, Tracy, so I'll try to paraphrase the best I can. Scott says, I'm a new shooter. Just started taking lessons. I practice mostly on my own during the week, trying to master the techniques I've been taught. Quite often, I will have a bird presentation that I just can't seem to figure out the best technique to use. I tend to take it on as a personal challenge and will keep trying different strategies to kill the bird. I can go through a couple boxes of shells just on one station. My question, is it best to move on and discuss the problem bird with my coach at a later time, or is it best to try to keep grinding it out on my own?
I think coaching is huge, and I'm a giant proponent of coaching. When I started sporting clays, and even when I shot Axe and Pistol, the first thing I did was get coaching. I think I was working with Kruger within 30 days of starting the sport. So I felt like I had a direction from day one. And so I think that you got to get with a coach that's going to teach you, you know, specific tools for specific presentations. And I think that anytime you can get with a coach to give you that direction and give you an opportunity to train very focused and with a purpose, I think it's going to be worth it without a doubt.
Yeah. And to jump in here real quick, 10 years ago, you know, there wasn't coaches or as many out as there is now. And, you know, Wendell and all those guys and the Raduloviches and the Matarises, they were still dragging it out of the ground, figuring it out on their own. They had a couple coaches behind that, like the Carlisles and stuff like that. But I think nowadays, you know, with the amount of coaches out there, like myself, you got so many people in different parts of the country that I think a student, if they really want to progress, I think you're absolutely, I'm with you 100%, they should probably go right to a coach. And you know, we can't teach experience and trigger time, but we can teach you the correct thing to get you through what you're going through a little bit quicker than you were in the past. I always use it the analogy of jumping a BMX bike. When I learned to backflip, I learned on flat ground on dirt, so I'd hurt myself a lot before I could actually do one. And, you know, you do it in a foam pit now at 12 years old, you're not going to get hurt. And they learn at such a young age or at any age because they know the consequence isn't that big, so they can learn it quicker. And I think that's what a coach does, is it allows you to not have to go through the amount of money and time and shots to figure it out.
Well, don't take that wrong, Sean. He doesn't want you to do backflips next time you sweep a station.
Well, probably not going to see that anyways, let me be honest with you. Well, Tracy, let me ask you this. So just to kind of follow up on this question, in your mind, if a student's out there practicing on their own, which is always a good thing, if they do come across the target that they can't figure out, is there a number of shells where you say, okay, this is the point where you need to stop and move on, or is that just kind of a personal choice?
You know, I'm really systematic in how I train, and I've got a journal and a diary, and I've got targeted things that I'm working on every time I train. But it's really, really common for me to try and master two or three different methods on one presentation. You know, for instance, it might be a fantastic target for a sustained lead, but I also want to try and master pulling away from it. So I think any time that you try and master different methods on, you know, maybe the same presentation or different presentations, I think it's only going to enhance your gun handling. But I think you just need to have a really focused approach on how you implement each of those methods.
Okay.
If you're going to pull away, you need to know a very specific insertion point. If you're going to sustain it, you just need to train with a really, really good setup. You just need to be very purposeful.
Okay, Tracy, feel free to interrupt me here. I'm just throwing this out there, Sean, to your question. So we've got the Wendell Cherries of the world that will run 1,200 shots at a target, trying to master it. Okay, to this guy's question, that doesn't work for everybody, okay? Not everybody needs third-degree burns on their left hand from running 1,200 rounds at a target. I know myself, I've struggled with a target when I was practicing by myself, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a breath here. And I'd grab the gun, grab my card, I'd move on to another station, work on something else, and maybe before the day's over with, come back to that station and see if I can just one more time, let's have another go at it, you know? Maybe it means coming back tomorrow, you know, after a night's sleep or something and working on it then. I think everybody's kind of different. Am I right, Tracy? I mean, do you have something else to add to that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, for instance, if I'm coaching and I've got a student who's really struggling with a crossing target or something like that, a lot of times it's one fundamental or one missing element that's really keeping them from being successful. And maybe the frustration is starting to build and things like that. We'll immediately go to another presentation that might be able to get them that fundamental back, or get them to help master that fundamental or get a stronger understanding of it. And then I'll take them back to that target in order to prevent the frustration. And it's amazing how much faster they'll get it. If you're frustrated, that's not a valuable place to be. You're not learning a whole lot.
Right.
So, you know, I think when you're training, you want to reinforce the positive. And if you're not training correctly and you're having, you know, issues with a presentation and you don't know where to go, absolutely go to a coach. Go back to a fundamental target. Go back to something that you know that you can shoot successfully, and get help when you need it.
Sean and I have been a huge proponent of coaching on the show. We both feel that that's the quickest way to progress through this sport is with coaching. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, if you're really struggling that bad with a target, get off of it. Go back and see your coach and you know, let him help you with it. But
that's what they're there for.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you that we won't be just telling you that you're behind it or in front of it. Or or overneath it or whatever they say. You know, we're gonna actually give you the understanding of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's an important thing, because if we don't, I mean, a lot of people know, like as coaches, I think, Tracy, you can agree with this, we can almost walk in the cage and watch somebody shoot and say, whoa, he's going to probably miss at least one target because of their setup, you know.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, and then they're like, well, there went two targets, and it's the one thing, and then they change so many things because they don't know, and, you know, they go backwards four steps instead of just going forward, you know.
Right.
And I think I've had a lot of good coaches in this game, and I think Tracy, you've been around some good shooters and good coaches yourself. It's helped you and me get to where we're at. I mean, we wouldn't be what we're at if we didn't have good coaching.
Absolutely.
That's well said, Chad.
I agree with your comment in regards to if you're coached really well, you should be able to self-diagnose fairly quickly, or you should at least have a really, really clear path every time you go.
Yeah.
I think that's really good quality coaching.
Yeah, that's and people are probably rolling their eyes because I'm only an A class student. but
be better.
It's yeah. But I okay, I understand what I'm doing wrong more times than I have the ability to correct what I'm doing wrong, but to Chad's testament, just telling somebody you're in front of it or you're behind it, that does no good. It's why you're in front of it, why you're behind it.
Right.
You know?
Well, so. And let's face it, the most important thing is when you're in a tournament situation and you get up there and you have a plan and that plan doesn't go right, there's a decision to make.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I know how to fix this? Do I know what I did wrong? Or am I going to just do exactly what I did the first time and still miss it again?
Well, that's the one time that your coach can't help you.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. If you can learn to self-diagnose
right.
and fix your own problems, that's more important than somebody saying, well, you just need to be
lead
it more, or you need to, you know, whatever.
Now, you're diving too much into this because that's something to do with your post-shot routine.
Well, all right.
And I've got questions for Tracy when we do a show with him.
All right.
I will say this much. Sometimes we will do something when we're shooting and we self-diagnose it of why we're doing it or whatever, and we make a decision to change it. And how many times, I know, Tracy, you've done this, you know, we can't teach experience, right? So we change it and we change the wrong thing and we still miss, right? So
absolutely.
I don't care who you are, and I'll talk, you know, this, we're on a podcast, so I guess we're going to be live around the world, right? I will tell this to any coach, and Tracy, hopefully you'll agree with me. We all make mistakes even while we're shooting. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
The difference is when you watch somebody like Derek Mine shoot, his break points are spot on. They're very small. If you put a circle with your hands over his head and you see where his break point is, it's very small. You take me, for example, it might be in a 3-inch area, you know, with a circle with your hands. And with Derek, it's a 1-inch area.
Yeah.
He's just more precise, you know. And then you take a difference between myself or, say, Tracy, who's actually, I think Tracy's just outstanding compared to even myself. It's just break points are spot on every time, every moment. Why is that? Is because of how we train. And we are always adjusting because, you know, as you saw today, there was times where we have a plan to get in front of the target, but we start from behind because we just didn't move and we have to correct it. So the break point's 10 feet later, you know, so, we're always making a correction, but we just, the pros just don't show you that they're making that change.
I think to piggyback off that, I just got done shooting with Nick Berry at the Oregon State, and he posted a couple of videos, and I can't tell you how much I learned about myself and how much I was even able to fix kind of overnight in my game. You know, I felt like some aspects were slipping, but just simple aspects like how much tension was in my hands and my shoulders and things like that, and how much I corrected, you know, from day to day was just huge. So absolutely. There's a lot of little things that no matter what aspect or where you're at in the game that you can work on.
Tracy, what's your website? If somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's your website where they can find you?
I think the best way to do it, it's a Wix website, unfortunately, and I'm still working on it, on updating it. But the best way to do it is find me on Facebook or Instagram. And there's linked, a link to my website, and you should be able to find me through one of those.
And that's Dark Horse Shooting, or is it strictly under your name, Tracy Wright?
It's under Dark Horse Shooting.
Gotcha. And you're located in Washington, correct?
Yes, sir. Spokane, Washington.
Hey, shout out to the people at Washington. I was looking at our stats the other day, and Westlake Stevens and Lake Stevens, Washington is the third highest area for downloads for our podcast. So shout out to all of you in Washington. Yes.
Right on.
And just
we definitely love you guys over here.
And I didn't even know that. I just wanted you on the show. I just love you, Tracy. I know that we don't see each other much, man, but I was so tickled when you came back into the game and you started doing your thing, because you're one person that I've always thought would be the man in this game.
Thank you so much, brother. You know, as soon as I came back, you were one of the first guys I looked for, man.
Awesome.
You've always stuck out in my head, and I've always wanted to see you. I look forward to seeing you every time.
You just wanted to see what crazy shit I was going to pull. Sorry, I'm going to get edited on that one. Sorry, Mom.
Well, Tracy, thank you very much for coming on. We're going to put Chad in the hot seat here, so we're going to run, but we'll be talking real soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Tracy. Nice talking to you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Sean Ollie, what do you think? Tracy Wright.
Man, I mean, I've really never heard of the guy before, but, dude, he's got some knowledge.
Yeah, I'm excited about doing our future episode. Really nice guy to talk to, too.
Yeah, definitely been around and maybe not as well known as some of the other guys, but definitely I think he's got some very good input for everybody.
So hats off to Chad Roberts.
Right.
Can you believe that we're giving him credit for something?
You know what? There's so many of us out there that need the acknowledgement, and I think we get wrapped up in the, you know, the who's who and the rock star guys of the game, which is awesome because, trust me, I've had some of them as my coaches. So, and for that reason, look, Anthony's still my coach, you know, in some ways. He talks to me, and
right.
Corey Cruz are all my friends, and Wendell and all those guys. I still look up to him, even if I'm older than those guys. They really helped what I am and shaped what I am. And I know that Tracy's worked with John Kruger and some other people in this game. And, you know, and it people just have to understand it's not just the top guys that can do it.
Right.
There are a lot of guys out there that can shoot and hit the targets and teach it.
You know, that's funny, Chad. I was going to bring that up because, you know, people look at, you know, Anthony, Corey, David, Wendell, go on down the list. Okay. And they think, well, once you hit masterclass, you can only learn something unless you go to one of those top guys. That's not true. I mean, you know, Sean here, he just made master. And I can tell you, you know, you and I just went shooting. I didn't go for an official, you know, nobody can see my air quotes, lesson with you. But just shooting with you today, I've learned so much. You know, I mean, Bill's my coach. He's a great coach. I love him to death. He's helped me and Sean a ton. But just shooting with you, just getting a different perspective.
Well, that's what's important, different perspective.
I absolutely agree with that. And each of these guys can. And if you can afford it, yeah, absolutely. If they have the time open and you can afford it, get to them and see them. I was flying back and forth from the country when I was seeing Anthony back in the day. And I even flew across the country to see Wendell. And I've seen Gebbin. I've worked with Bill McGuire. I've worked with dang near all of Zach, everybody, you know. So it's not that I was doing it trying to learn something or trying to get a quick fix. It was literally I was such a student of the game of wanting to get involved with the game, so I took it to the next level so I could actually start and push the Breakpoint name, which is what I do, and teaching what I do. So I think, you know, what I love about your guys' show is you look at the people that are not necessarily at the top of the game. They're into it. They want to do more. They feel a little intimidated maybe going to the top guys because they don't maybe know them, or they're not in the right crew or the clique or whatever you want to call it, air quote clique. But, you know, they want to learn, and there's a lot of guys out there that have the knowledge. And you know, I still believe that you have to back up what you teach. And, you know, if you're, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, this game requires you, you know, coaches – have to have some kind of, you know, we have to be, you know, looked at one way or judged. And one of the best ways to be judged is if you're a decent shot, then you can kind of back up what you're talking about.
I'm going to throw it out there this way, and I hope I don't offend anyone. If you think the only way you can progress is to go to a $225 an hour coach, you're gravely mistaken.
Yeah, there's a lot of us out there that don't charge that much, and we can do it on a budget. I'm not saying that you can't learn from them. Obviously, that's why they're charging what they charge, and I go to them. You know, I don't have a big enough ego to say that I don't go to them. Pros have to go somewhere, and, you know, where I'd feel bad is where does Anthony go when he goes into a rut, or where does Wendell
right,
go?
Right.
You know, they don't have anybody to go to, so they have to go work it out of the ground and figure it out, which that takes a huge amount of understanding of self-awareness, like David talks about, things like that. But My point is there's so many stepping stones and people to go to that do know what they're talking about, that do have accolades to them. They may not be the world level, world championship level per se, but man, they win a lot of state, or they win a lot of stuff like Tracy's. I mean, he's HOA at a Western Regional. I mean, that's about as big as you can get, right?
And I'll just say this. I mean, along my shooting journey, and Jason probably say the same thing, you get to know people, you shoot with people, and you train with people, you practice with people, and there's rarely been an instance where I've not been able to find like a little nugget or a little pearl of wisdom to take away something new that I hadn't thought about, or something that, oh, the light bulb went on, ding.
Yeah, you know. And it could be very small, and, it, you know, I guess as you get better, it's easier to decipher that stuff, and you're not just trying to, I'm going to go that style, and then I'm going to go this style, because I get a lot of questions like that as a coach. They go, what style do you teach?
Yeah.
What concept do you teach? I'm like, if I go and say it like that, and my answer is like, well, they're like, well, you're not sustained lead guy, so I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. It's
like, well, I do that. And I also do pull away, and I also do swing through, and I also do spot shooting, and I also do collapse leading. And I just, you know, as me, I may not be as good as the top guys, but I can pull it out of my bag when needed to do something to control the target. So,
well, you know, Tracy just talked about it, is teaching you all those tools to have in your tool bag.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think just only one style of coaching or one style of teaching, and no offense to anyone again, but I think there's more out there. There's more options out there.
There's good logic on both sides. You know, I don't want to be at the world championships and 5% of the time that I use a swing through is the time that I need it, and the world is on the line. But to be honest with you folks, if you're at that level where one target's going to make you the world champion, I can guarantee if you decide to do a swing through on that target, you have already mastered that swing through, even though you may have only used it 5% of your time.
Right.
You better have done it, because there's going to be that presentation that will happen, and you can't control it. The difference, in my opinion, from the pros to the amateurs is the fact that we can pull it out quicker.
Right.
We can pull that tool out of the box and go, I know exactly what to apply, like Tracy was saying, to that target to make it break and do it consistently. Because, you know, we teach lead and we teach all these concepts, you know, I just said it, you know, lead, whatever. We teach whatever style that we think is best for that target. And, you know, it's hard to teach lead if you don't know how to use the gun.
Right.
You know, if you don't know how to look at the barrel correctly, you know, everybody thinks you're staring at it. So, you know, and there's a big concept online about, you know, tape barrels and Olympics and all this stuff. It's obviously because these guys need to know where their barrel's at, because they're shooting a particular spot on the target line that they're shooting. So for us, it's always trying to decipher what we're going to shoot. And if you can get to the lead, we get to the lead, and whatever that is, it is. And, you know, there's times where you might employ three concepts to make a finished shot, and you didn't mean to do that. You know, oops, it passed me, and now I got to catch up to it. Now I got to sink it in the lead. Oh, now I got to pull away at the end to make sure I hit it. And you break it, and you're like, I just lucked out, you know, and nobody knows that nobody's looking at me. The camera's on me. I just did something really stupid. Okay,
he meant to do that.
Yeah, I meant to do that, and I shot it 2 inches off the ground. No, that was a mess up. So, you know, that's the difference. These pros can't give you that idea.
Well, Chad, we've got some questions for you.
Let's do it.
Let's
rapid fire. Let's do the hot seat. Let's get her done.
Oh man, he's on.
I'm ready.
He's ready to rock. You better go, Jason. You better go.
So, this question comes to us from Vaughn Precision. Huge shout out to Vaughn. They have a huge YouTube presence. They took our advice. They went out and bought a bear pelt vest. He's said some really nice things to us and about us online. Thank you, Vaughn Precision. Here's his question, Chad. He says, my question is, my son and I typically shoot in the 60 to 70 score range out of 100. Is it worth the investment to hire a coach to help improve our scores? If so, what should we expect to gain, and what's the time frame we should expect to see results? Additionally, can we just keep practicing and making gains on our own with similar results? Love the podcast.
Answer from the back to the front. So what I would say is, can you do it on your own? I would say yes. Wendell Cherry didn't get good by going to a bunch of coaches. You know, I know he saw some coaches, but he just burned it out of the ground. Dan Carlisle, those guys out on the out there in the world, the Zach Kinbaums of the world, they burned it out of the ground. However, to get to a point that you decide to get to, depending on your goals, will require a coach. So if you don't care about the time frame, I believe wholeheartedly that if you just shoot a lot of shells, there's one thing that a coach cannot teach you, and I will argue with any coach in the world about this, is they cannot teach you experience. You have to gain that on your own. And that could be a bad experience or a good experience. So, yes, you can do it up. Now, in this day and age, with the cost of shells, the cost of targets, the cost of time to go into the clubs, it might take you 10, 15, 20, 30,000 rounds to get a good idea of shooting in the 80s, you know, and you're like, okay, well, maybe that's a good enough investment for me. However, this happens to be a game where people want to do stuff and get the, they want to buy the lightning in the bottle. So that's where a coach comes in. And if you're smart about it and you get a coach, you want to be really looking at, you know, it depends on where you're at your level. If you don't have a good fundamental base, when I say that, I'm talking about understanding of how to use a shotgun. Your elbows aren't too high, your gun fits, your feet placement are right. You know how to lean not too much, not too far back. You know how to run a shotgun, and you know how to look at one. Then, you know, the coach is going to come in and work with your eyes to how that syncs with the barrel and your fundamentals. And when that sync happens, then you can start applying all the techniques and you can decide what works best for you. So I think over time, yes, you can do it on your own, but I think, you know, coaching will get you there quicker. So if you do go to a coach, your thing that you should be thinking about is just, you're not trying to learn everything in one day. It may take three or four lessons at a couple hours a piece. What I will say when taking lessons, what I found the best to do is 2 hours at a time when you take a lesson gives enough time for the coach to explain and enough time for you to burn enough shells to build that sight picture into your Rolodex. So, yes, you can do it either way.
Good deal. This next question is from Bob T. Bob, love you, buddy. I know who you are. Don't want to say your last name on the air. He's been a big fan of our show. And I really like this question. It says, I am in a rabbit slump. Folks always say you are behind, but I think I am ahead. When you see the rabbit in the clay almost simultaneously in the dust but not breaking, it's getting frustrating. He says, I have a fixed choke gun. It's an 1823. Any rabbit tips are appreciated. So he's 18 and 23 on his constrictor.
I actually don't care about that so much. Unless it's under 20 yards, then I would probably consider maybe getting some either flipping the barrel so you're running the open barrel on the first shot if that's the rabbit. Outside that, I would consider getting some spreader loads if you're under 20 yards. I actually, and I know this sounds really weird, I'm a student of the game. I took my Atlas traps and I set them at every yardage from basically 10 yards out to about 60, 65. Personally, I don't think rabbits should be used in national championships because they're not ever the same, and I don't think you can ever throw a rabbit to be the same consistent for one person to another. But they are fun to shoot. So they're probably the most fun to shoot, but also the most frustrating. I've been in my rabbit slumps before. So what you're saying is probably right without seeing you shoot. His name's Bob. So
yes.
Bob, I would say you're correct. Most people see the shot go past the target. When it hits the ground, the target is still moving. So you see the shot cloud hit the ground behind the target. So everybody says you're behind. If you keep moving out, depending on how you see lead, whether it's at a target level, foot level, out at the target, and you keep adding distance to it, eventually you're going to see your shot actually hit the ground before the target gets there. And then you're going to be in a world of hurt because you won't know where you're at. So what I have found is basically underneath 20 yards, if it's a full crossing shot, you're right at the front nose at 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock because that's where the feet of the rabbit are. If it's a quartering away at those targets, you're at the actual back end of the target. You will let the target pass you, and you will insert the gun. Yes, I said insert, which means that you have to stare at the barrel and see the barrel go to the back edge of the target, either from a right to left at 5 and from left to right at 7, and you shoot the back end of the target. Doesn't matter the speed. The pattern's going to go where the target's at. Outside of that, you're like a deep quartering or crossing, 20 to 40 yards. It's about a 3-target lead, which is about 2 to 3 feet, depending on speed. In the air, it's the same concept, but you're shooting the target in the peak. And remind yourself, if you're shooting a quartering target, rabbit target in the peak, that that target width is narrower, so your lead looks is the same lead. It's 3 feet, but narrower 3 feet, if that makes any sense, over the air. I've trained in all of them, and what most people do is they shoot in front because they see the target, they think it's fast, and they rip their hands out in front of the target, and they shoot, and they don't see it. They're not in sync with it. And you really need to be in sync with the target, and if it jumps, you jump with it. The eyes, barrel go at the same time. And, you know, just watch those quartering targets because you tend to really shoot in front. Anthony's notorious for throwing a quartering in or quartering away target from the station. And everybody shoots in front of that target, and you have to just let it pass you and just go up and touch the back end with the barrel and pull the trigger, and the pattern will take the rest, regardless of your choke size. So I think it's very mathematical on the target. Yes, you're going to get the jumps, and that's why I don't feel them as considered a fair target,
right?
But I do believe that for the most part, you can actually mathematically know what the lead is depending on distance. And outside 40 yards, it's kind of based on feel. And you don't see too many of those, and usually they're thrown a little bit slower. But even if they're thrown a lot, you can get out in front of them if you need, because they're slowing down every time they hit the ground.
Yeah. All right, got one here from Ty Lowry. Ty is an E-class shooter. He says, how do I prepare to mentally finish a station? I have a bad tendency to get in the stand and knock down, 3 or 4 pairs, but I'm usually missing one of the last 2 targets. What am I doing wrong? Am I just getting too comfortable and forgetting the basics? I shot the main Super Sport and a couple sub-gauge events at the Missouri State Shoot last weekend, and it was my biggest problem in all my events.
So for me, when I'm teaching my students, that's a great, Ty is his name.
Ty,
nice question. So, what I would say on that is I look at it, I study this game. I've talked to a lot of coaches. So, and I really think there's a way to understand how to train and what is going on there. So if you're missing a lot of targets in your last pair, it's probably because of ramping up of your amperage. And what that means is you're going in with a good plan. You hit the targets, you get comfortable, and then you hit your next pair. You're still comfortable. You hit your next pair, and now you start creeping into like, oh, I think I can run the station. And when we start thinking about running the station, a lot of people think about the right stuff, but at the wrong time. And what that means is that you're thinking about, wow, I'm getting ready to run the station, and you missed their last bird. Whether it's from a transition from a first bird to the next bird, or it's just you change your hold point, you don't move on motion. There's all these little things that us coaches will walk you through. And that comes back to training, in my opinion. If you're missing a lot of birds in your last pair, and I actually talked to you about this earlier, Sean, this comes into training. So what we do is we do a pair training situation where you will go and you will, say you've already gridded that station, you know what the target leads are, or the lead of the target, you've worked the feel of the target, however you want to explain it, and you know what needs to happen on each target, and then you start putting together the gridding of transitioning from one break point to the hold point and then kill of the second bird. And you do that over and over, but you put a number to it. So what I would suggest to you, Ty, is go out and find a pair that you know how to hit. And I would work on hitting 6 to 8 pairs in a row, depending on what level you are. If you're under say B, the B class, I would probably do six pairs in a row. If you're between A, double A, and master, I'd probably do eight pairs. And if you're at the really elite level, I'd be doing a box to 12 pairs per station. And I would actually do those pairs in a row. If you miss, start over. Do them again until you can hit those amount of pairs in a row. So if in your case, depending on your level, I would say do six in a row. And what that does is when you go to a tournament, most tournaments are never going to be over four pairs. So you're going to do one to two pairs more than it takes. And that will give you that confidence and the slowing down of the amperage to be able to hit it.
That's good advice. Okay, last but not least, we got a question here from Greg Holiski, and I tell you what.
Wait.
Yes.
You're not talking about the Greg.
The Greg Holiski. We know this guy. Jason and I both have met him. Funny story. We pulled into a shoot at Mad River, and I dropped Jason off. Well, all right, you go first.
No, Jerry. Wait. Back up, bud.
All right.
At Hillendale, you weren't there.
I wasn't there, no.
There's a dam. If you come in Poe Road, there's a dam you have to cross with your truck and trailer, and it's like really skinny, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna, you know, either go into water or fall off the cliff here.
Cliff, don't. Jason has a really big truck with really wide tires.
So anyway, I'm going along, and this guy stops and he gets out of the truck and he's pointing back at his truck and he's like, I'm listening to you guys right now. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, and then
fast forward to the shoot up at Mad River. I just dropped Jason off at the Port-a-John. He had to take a leak. We drove all the way up there, and I parked the truck, and I think I maybe taken two steps out of the truck, and this guy says, shouts across the parking lot, hey, are you large and in charge? And I'll turn around and introduced himself. So, Greg, we know you, and thank you for writing in with this question. I'll go ahead and rattle this off. It's kind of similar, Chad. So he says, why can't I stay consistent or focused? I get in the box. I smoke the first pair. And then I lose the second pair, and then I'll hit one or both of the next pair. And I know Jason's had that problem before, and we've all been there.
We know why Jason has that problem. Oh, God. Don't we, Jason?
Yeah, I'm blind as a bat.
No, Jason likes to go fast, so he gets more amped out as he goes. So along the same line, first off, Greg, thanks for the shout out to the team. I love it. They're laughing over here about you just like, I'm listening to the Dead Bear. You're large in charge. I can't wait to meet you this weekend if you're at the Ohio State. Here's the deal on that. I think that, you know, the last question was about a consistent on the last targets. When you miss the middle pair, or starting to miss the middle pair. And again, this is my opinion based on my experience with my coaches and teams that I work with. So here's what I think. I think that you made a good plan. You shot it, but you didn't trust it. And you shot it and broke the target, but you didn't trust what you shot. So then you shot again thinking that you trusted it, but really not deeply trusting it. And you missed your second pair. And then the questions arrive, whatever those questions are, is like, oh, I did something wrong. And then you missed a bird in your third pair. And you might even make it back to where you break your last pair or miss another pair or straight out miss the whole pair. So what happens is this again comes down to training. I get so many students because I'm a coach. I'm not just an instructor. So instructing is instructing you how to shoot, not to shoot me. Not to shoot your fellow neighbor, being safe on the course, cleaning up after yourself, having fundamentals, all that good stuff. We're having a good time because we have some people that have never pulled a trigger before. But when you're coaching somebody because they're competing in a tournament, it's a big difference. And a lot of that is because of trust training, okay? And I dug this up training with Derek Mine and training with David Radulovich actually to come up with this type of program that I use, which is trust training. So you go into a station, you look at that pair, just like you would look in a tournament, you would give yourself up to two pairs, just like the NSCA rules say you can. And then you get up to three pairs to shoot it perfectly. And basically what you want to achieve is by that third pair, even if you didn't hit them, that man, you are aching to shoot another pair because if you get that next chance, you'll hit them. And I tell you to put $100 on the counter right there. And I say, I'll give you that fourth pair if you know for sure you're going to hit them. And I've had a lot of students that will take that $100 and put it back in their pocket because they don't trust what they can do. They don't want to put the money on that third pair or that fourth pair of shots. And I've actually had students put the $100 out there, missed a pair, and put another $100 for the fifth pair. And the whole point of that exercise is I get a lot of money from it. Just kidding. No, the whole point of that exercise is I need to put pressure on you guys. A lot of these coaches out there, I don't care who you are, if you're worth your sand, you're putting pressure on your students to feel what you feel like when you're going for a national championship or whatever, your Ohio five-stand buggy championships. It doesn't really matter as long as there's some kind of pressure on you. So you want to look at the targets, make a plan, shoot that plan, and then recreate that plan, and you have up to three times to get it perfect. If you shoot it semi-okay the first pair, and then you correct and you make it better your second pair, and then you're perfect by third pair, I would actually tell you to walk out of the cage and go to the next station and do that again on your next station. What that does is you're imprinting a stress scenario that allows you to make a good plan. You don't have a choice. Now, can you shoot the fourth pair or fifth pair? Sure, but you have to put something up for it. Right. And this is a great time to use a friend so you can give them some money. Because it's always fun to shoot for some money. But I do that with all my students because it's like, look, I'll give you that fourth pair, but I want you to know that you can hit it. Give me some money. And they do it. And sometimes they miss, and that's okay, but they're really trying. They're really working hard on that target. So I think that is a different scenario than when you're missing your last targets or if you're missing the first target. For example, if you're missing a lot of first targets in your pairs, it's because your planning's not good. And you need to spend more time rehearsing and thinking about the concepts and everything you can do to that target to break it. So when you do get in the cage and it is your time to shoot, that all you're thinking about is what that target looks like at the break point. And that may include what the barrel looks like to that target, whatever it is that your concept is. And I think, Jason, I'll bring you in here today. For example, did we talk about concepts as far as techniques?
Oh, yeah.
Very, very much. I mean, we did,
but not
that, in a way that was going to hurt right, you exactly. from what you've already learned from your coach. I wasn't here to step on any coach's toes. I was taking what Jason already learned.
I think, if anything, you enhanced what Bill's already taught me.
Yeah, because that's my job. My job is not to say that Bill's doing something wrong. My job is to see what he's teaching you and seeing how you shoot and reacting to that.
And credit to Bill Elliott for teaching me the right fundamentals to begin with.
You didn't hear me say anything about your stance or your holds or anything like that. So obviously we all can teach something that is very good for any of us to learn, you know, and it's something I have to remind myself. I missed some targets today. You heard me talking to myself today.
You know, this is kind of funny, but you were talking about pressure and credit to David Radulovich for this line, but I bet Sean $50 on the make or break at the SCTP fundraiser. And I had $5 in my pocket. So pressure wasn't winning that shoot. It was betting my buddy $50.
Absolutely.
For a little side game, and I only had $5 in my pocket. Now, I did run to the ATM machine.
Yeah, for those of you who are curious, I did beat him.
Yes, you did.
And Scott Hitch and everybody else online has beaten me up and have taken Sean's side on this rematch that we have going on. But that's okay. That's all right.
Well, you know,
I like being the underdog. But you know what? It's
pressure.
It's pressure. We were being filmed. We had
probably 50 people there watching us
at least. And it was like, I looked at Sean and I'm like, I've never had anybody watching me shoot like this.
And I was looking at him like, what have you done?
So I'll tell you one little story before we go. So I'm at a world championship for BMX racing, and we were in the what we would consider the prelim of shooting. We were getting ready. We're warming up. And me and a buddy of mine had been dirt jumping a lot and jumping some really big jumps. And there was no amateurs. I was amateur at the time. And there was no amateurs jumping the pro section of the BMX track at the Worlds. Right. And I they started playing a Metallica song, which was one of my favorite ones, and Enter Sandman. And, you know, back in the day, it was like, oh, this is awesome. We're going to go great. And I said, let's jump the pro section. He's like, you're on. no matter win, lose, or draw. This is in practice. We hauled ass down the back straight, jumped the little rhythm section, went through the corner, and I was like, holy crap, I'm in the lead. I'm in front of my best friend, basically. We jumped the pro section. We were the only two amateurs in that practice section to jump the pro section. All the other amateurs were watching us. Right then and there, I knew I was going to be a world champion. And I won the Worlds that weekend. So,
really?
Wow.
So it's pressure. It's putting – it's not only are you putting it out there, because I could have totally crashed or done something weird.
Right.
But you have to put yourself in the pressure to – and then – exclamation mark it to the other people, you know, and in shooting, we're not shooting each other. So, you know, there's no pressure to lose. We do this for a recreation. We're having fun, but everybody has these little, I don't care who you are, where you're at in the world right now. If you're shooting a shotgun, you're trying to get better,
yes.
You know, and if you're shooting at clay targets, whether you're in snow or you're in some crazy place. And I saw some of my friends teaching people in the snow. I'm talking, they're digging traps out of the snow to shoot them. They're trying to get better. And I think that if you put enough pressure on somebody, they're either going to compete to that level or not. And that's our job as coaches to allow you to get to that and at least experience it. So
I think the
putting
more,
numbers to it is the way.
Yeah, I think the more you want it, the more you put pressure on yourself.
Absolutely.
Hey, and, Sean, you're a masterclass shooter now, right?
Right.
What did you say to me when we took a break today?
I got a lot more work to do.
That's right. So, but does he? But he shoots pretty good, right?
Oh, he's a phenomenal shooter.
If he shoots the way he normally shoots,
Sean will be fine. And typical Sean, every time he punches up a class, the very next tournament, he gets it in his head.
Right.
And he shot like, I mean, he couldn't hit water if you fell out of a boat.
Right.
But then the next day, he woke up and went, duh, I know how to do this. Yeah. And here it came.
So, it's a mental thing. It totally is.
Look, I turned master in 2008, end of 2008. 2009, I started my first path as a master shooter. I didn't win my first major until 2013.
Yeah.
I was shooting the same targets, guys.
But you know what?
You know what I mean? Like, why am I? And I was shooting like 89s and 90s and 92s in double A.
But you know,
I get to master, I'm shooting 88s and 86s. I'm like, the targets got harder because I turned master. What happened? You know? Yeah.
I think it's the mental idea of, okay, listen, if I go to a big tournament, I got to shoot against David, Anthony, and I know I'm not going to touch those guys. I mean, I have no illusions about that. But it does do something to your psyche. It does do something to your mental ability. It's like you don't want to be embarrassed.
Okay. Sure.
You don't want to feel like you don't belong there, right?
Here's something that, and even I struggle with this. If everybody could put this in perspective, there is not even 10%. It's like not even 5%, maybe 2% of the shooters in the world make their living off of shooting. Okay, Chad, you're a prime example. You're a national pro, and you make your living off of coaching. You have another full-time job. You know, Anthony, he's a phenomenal shooter. He's a world champion. He makes his living off of coaching, and he does fishing guides, you know, and go on and on and on, okay? It's the pressure we put on ourselves because we want that title of
absolutely
HOA or Ohio absolutely State champion, yep, yep, or
and the
world
guy,
champion. You know, it, yep, it, okay, listen, if you go out tomorrow, Chad, and you win the world championship, does that make you a millionaire?
Nope, but it absolutely sure is cool.
But it's cool, and yeah, you yeah want that title.
Yeah, that's absolutely
so
right.
We only put the pressure to win on ourselves.
That's, you know, David has a really good thing on his website where he talks to, you know, about the shot, you know, like the
yeah,
I can't remember what he calls it, how much pressure we put on ourselves of the shot when it's no different than any other shot, but you put, you know, the fact that you could be a world champion if you hit that shot. You know, that's a pretty big yeah deal. And I think for most shooters, probably Greg in this situation, is they want to do well at the level that they're at. And I think what many coaches sometimes forget is not everybody wants to be a world champion.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to be a good shot, and they just want to be able to compete with their friends. And well, that's why we do it, you know, and that's why we want to be out there. And there are guys like Tracy and myself where we're
right,
we're pushing these guys. You know, I have a lot of students that are, you know, I think I had, you know, 4 to 5 people almost in every class at the state championships in California in every class. You know, they were
awesome.
Littered all over the place. And, you know, we had 4 of my students were in the top 5 in the HOA. So, I mean, it was for me, it was just like, it sucked that I lost the tournament on one station. But at the same time, I saw so many of my students either tie me or go above me or win or get second or do something at the shoot that I was just like so proud. So, you know, everybody's different. They have their different goals. I'm not saying you should just have a goal because you may or may not get it, or it may be out of your reach or not out of your reach and you get it really quick. But, you know, we all want to be well.
Yes.
You know, we want to be good as we can be good.
But that lays weight to what I said earlier. You know, you don't have, not like you said, not everybody wants to be a world champion. So you don't have to go to a world champion to get good instruction.
No.
I mean, you know, if you hit your level, Chad, okay, if a guy's at your level, you're going to go to those $225 an hour coaches, right? But until they can get to your level, a guy like you is perfect to go to. You know, a guy like Tracy is perfect to go to.
Yeah, and don't get us wrong. I have students that won AA at national championships. I have students that have won HOA at local shoots and, you know, big shoots and, you know, state championships and stuff like that. And you know, I may not be the Wendell Cherry where he's got, you know, he fortunately got his hands on David Radulovich and Tom Say at a good time, you know, in his career, and he's been able to coach, or Zach has Goodrich or some of these other kids that are just astounding shooters, you know, and we put our name to that, and that's great, and there's nothing wrong with it, but there's always that local guy that just wants to be better.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care that he, you know, I have a student that he doesn't care that he shoots an 87. He just wants to shoot in the 80s.
Sure.
In his class. And as long as he's shooting in the 80s, he don't care if he wins or loses. You know, and he's like, I'm like, why don't you want to go to the 90s? And he's like, because I don't care. Right now, where he's at, he just wants to be in
the 80s. That'll be the guy that in 6 months is up in the mid-90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, he doesn't put that pressure on himself.
That's right. That's right.
And next thing you know, he's sweeping stations, and he gets done, and he goes, wow, we're done. What's my score? Oh, wow, I shot a 93.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yep, and then but the work guys, is on, right? You got to do the more work.
Right. But then guys like Sean and I are counting in our heads, even though we try not to, station by station, well, I dropped 2 there. I dropped 1 there.
Don't think you're the only one. We all count it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't let any pro tell you they don't count it. We know when we miss 2 targets.
Well, hey.
Yeah, 98's a 98. You know you missed 2 targets, right? You miss 1 target, you're like, yeah, I kind of know I've only missed 1 target so far. You know, it's hard when you're missing, you know, 20. You know, I tell some of my students that are in this, in the, you know, C class, E class or whatever, and they'll be like, I shot a 76. And I'm like, dude, you could walk into that cage and know that you can miss 25 targets right now. I'll give you 25 zeros and you can still win your class. How does that make you feel? And they're like, that's awesome. I can miss 25 targets. They don't care.
Right.
They're like, rad, this is cool, let's go at it. And then next thing you know, they shoot a 76. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And you just won your class, you know? Right. So, you know, that it, I think a lot of people, there's certain training techniques for each class, each level. I do that with all mine. I worked with some of the best shooters in the country to be able to make that understanding, because I didn't understand what they were doing for training and all that.
Right.
I spent time with them and I built a list based on your level, what kind of training you should do based on what you're doing in your shoots. And that allows them, it's not perfect.
Right.
It's not even right in some cases, but, and some other coach might do a different concept. For me, it's like, look, I understand how much it costs to shoot. It's a lot,
yep.
You know, and it's expensive, you know, and spending $225 or $150 or, you know, $125 on a coach locally, that's a lot. You know, not even lawyers in some cases get that much money,
right.
You know, and it's like you're just shooting clay targets. So if you take that in consideration and, you know, take that couple hour lesson and learn what you can out of it. And for me, I give you a lot of reading and info and actual, you know, like you worked with me today, Jason, you're going to get a whole bunch of reading info that coincides with what he did in the physical and visual form. And that way you have something you can lean back on when you're training on your own.
Yeah.
And I thought for myself, that was one thing I wanted to do different than other coaches. You know, it's like, I didn't want it to be a secret. I wanted to dig it out from all these different people. And I was fortunate enough to work with a lot of them. I didn't mean to steal anything, if anybody's listening. But I liked what they were doing, and I enhanced it into a written material so I can give you some, you know, some real feedback and homework. And that will allow you to grow. Now, I have students that come out, and they just want me to be a glorified puller and give them – and I'm a greatest cheerleader in the world. And I can put them on targets that they can be 80% all day long, 90%, you know, and they don't care because that's all they want to do is have fun when they shoot.
Right.
Fine with me. I have groups that come into the club that can't even speak English, you know, and I don't speak some of the different languages. So, you know, I can speak some Japanese and some Spanish, but, you know, if they don't know what they're doing, I got to explain them, see the barrel touch the target, you know, and they break the target and they're having fun and going, odale, you know, or whatever, you know, come by, you know. They enjoy it. So it's like I have to change. I have kids that are 9 years old in my Boy Scout stuff that shoot 410s that are like little miniature 410s, and they got to be able to hold them up and shoot an incomer target. Of course I'm making them look at the barrel, and I'm teaching them how to use the gun and look at the target and stuff like that, but I'm putting them on targets that they can do that to without it causing any issues. So I don't care what level you're at. I think some coaches don't want to teach that because it's harder, and some coaches want to go big. So – you know, whatever you want to do, and that's what we're here for. So
we preach it every week, how people can get a hold of you, Chad. But one thing we haven't touched on, if somebody wants a lesson, and let's say they're in, I don't know, Montana, it may be expensive for you to travel over there, but if they can get a couple buddies together, you know, maybe that'll help share some of the expense, right?
You know, I do pocketed shooting all over the country, and like why I'm here. You know, I'm here at the Ohio State. I'm going to be teaching up at C4 tomorrow. I'm here to kind of put my name on the board. So I love this area. I think it's like Sean, you were talking about how many clay courses are around here.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful, and I think now that I can come out and visit everybody and see what they do, get my name out there saying, hey, I'm available to come out and teach. From there, it's on me to get people to call me and text me and let me know or email me what they want to do, and I will come to you. So, you know, I go up to Montana because I'm from up there. I go to Utah, and I spend some time in Utah. I spend a lot of time in California, all over the place. I go to Arizona. I go to Kansas a couple times a year because
you'll travel anywhere.
Absolutely. And a lot of people think it's so expensive, you know, and it's like, look, you know, I went to a guy's house that he had lights. He paid me my daily rate. It was like, you know, I don't know, whatever it was a day, you know, I think it was $1,500 a day. And if you think about it, it breaks down about $100 an hour because we were shooting at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I have a choice of sitting and looking at a hotel room at 8 o'clock at night, or he turns on the lights and we go shooting. I'm there. Let's do some shooting.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Anthony, they have gotten to the point where they are so good and so well, you know, they're so popular that people come to them. Of course, that would be the best case scenario. Come to me.
Sure.
Now, granted, I'm in Southern California. You come to Disneyland. You can hang out at the beach, go surfing with me. And, you know, you come hang out and we'll shoot at 3 or 4 different clubs that are really big. But at the same time, I have no problem. I'll go anywhere in the country. And I love going. I love training and I love teaching and I love to travel. So, absolutely. Sure. Give me a call. Get us out there. Most of us do that. And some don't. You know, some like their pockets, but you know, there's like me. I like to go out there and get it done.
Let's get it done.
Well, Sean, we got to run. What do we tell everybody every week?
Take someone shooting. Take someone new shooting.
Yes.
But if you can't take someone new, take someone.
That's right.
Just go shooting.
And if they're struggling a little bit, who do they call?
They want to call a coach.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Hey, I took a 71-year-old lady out the other day. She was about 5'1", and she shot one of my demo guns from Blazer. Sorry, I had to plug that, but I put all the weight in the back, and it was all bitching. And she shot 57 shots, and she missed 16 out of all of them.
Wow.
So nice. She had the biggest time of her life.
I was going to say, did she have a smile?
Oh my God. She called me the next day and she's like, cause I teach her son too, but she wanted to try it. And she's like, oh my God, the gun fit. I could actually, cause we, the last time I had her, she had a large auto that was not cut down for her and it didn't fit. So make sure the guns fit when you're going to take a lesson from something. She was an older person that didn't have a lot of strength. And, dude, I haven't had that much fun in shooting in so long. I was laughing my butt off because she was just, like, hitting it. And she was F-bombing when she hit targets. She just thought it was the coolest thing ever.
And that's the thing.
And I thought it was cool.
And that's the thing. Just take somebody out there, show them a good time, and you might just get somebody hooked on the sport and somebody to go shooting with, so.
And if not, you still blow up targets.
That's right.
Well, hey, everyone. It's been awesome. Chad, we'll see everyone next week on
the Dead Pair Podcast.